Isaiah 59 is going back, and I was reading this. It's as if it was just yesterday, but it still applies to today. And we'll just read a verse and talking about truth and what truth means today. And Brother Thurman's already started us off with the truth, talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And we know that's real. We know that's true. Christians, we believe that. I know a lot of times the world still scoffs or laughs at us for what we believe as Christians. That's all across the world. That's just not here in the U.S., and we're fortunate to be here where we're at. Well, we'll just look at verse number 14. And if you're young with us today, when I say young people in here, let's say, that's right. Amen, Brother Wayne. Let's say anybody, we're going to go younger, we'll do the ER on the end and say all of us are young, but let's say anybody probably less than 35, just to let you know, it's been this way since I was 25, 30, and actually it's getting worse, and I'm sure people that's older than me can tell you, no, it's gotten worse as times went along. So verse number 14, and judgment is turned away backward. This is Isaiah 59, verse 14. And judgment is turned away backwards. And when it says judgment, means justice is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Here's what I wanted to get to. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. And when it talks about equity, it means integrity cannot enter. In other words, the street's blocked. There's something wrong. And if we talk about truth is fallen in the street, you know, I thought about those traffic jams sometimes, or the radio, the report that you hear, talking about traffic and what to avoid. And, you know, talking about preaching we hear on the radio sometimes. They're trying to tell us what to avoid, the sin to try to stay away from, how it hinders man and women. You know, sin's still real today as it was 2,000 years ago. And as we look here, and Isaiah's trying to, I guess, talking more about national corruption. We can apply that to our lives and alter to our nation and nations across the land. We talk about judgment is turned away backward. In other words, right is wrong, wrong is right. That's exactly what that's saying. You think how many years ago Isaiah wrote that? And we're still there today. And when I say traffic is blocked, that means, what I'm trying to say is the truth getting out is blocked. The traffic, the word trying to get out, or they're trying to block it, so to speak. Missionaries every day, whether they're going to the jail, whether it's Brother Wayne in the jail ministry, or the Rock of Ages, or out in the Indian reservations out west, or if it's around the world, missionaries are having difficulty in most of the areas of getting the word out. They're meeting, with a lot of resistance. Thank the Lord for the place where the Bibles were printed. That wasn't Haiti. The Bibles that we I wasn't here last year. You know, the Bibles went out and they're giving them out in that country. New Guinea. Thank you, Poppy New Guinea. Alan Brooks. Thank you. I missed that last year, but I heard about it. Mr. Grizzle, I remember he'd called me on the phone on a Thursday and told me that what had happened the Sunday before, and then Pastor had mentioned it to me, and so that was. It's really good work they're doing there and getting that out. That's one of the few places that it seems like it's just opening up. So, but here, you think about in our country, truth is falling in the street. Traffic is blocked. The word getting out. Things just can't pass through as they once could. And as you see here, it said, injustice standeth afar off. When we think about with justice, uprightness, what's correct, standeth afar off. In other words, it's watching from a distance, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. In other words, integrity cannot enter. So I remember, and I made notes this morning, as I looked at that, Isaiah 59, 14, I went back and I said, what exactly is truth? And you may recall, we've had a definition of truth before, and we've talked about how truth is can be just inactive, but it's not an error. And what I mean by inactive, you recall, we use mathematics as an example. And we talked about math, 2 plus 2 is 4. And it's going to be 4. And, you know, you can lay, you know, 2 items here and bring 2 more items here. And you say, how many you got? You got 4. That's not going to change. Now, I can keep things off the table, and that's what we would think would be inactive. In other words, we're not talking about math at the time, or we don't go through the numbers. But if you go through the parking lot and you count all the cars, as long as nobody leaves, that number stays the same. In other words, that's the truth. You come in and say there's 23 cars in the parking lot. Nobody leaves, it still stays 23. But if somehow you were to cover those cars, they become inactive. You walk out and say, well, it doesn't look like there's a single thing out there to me. And so that's what I was talking about as far as the truth becomes inactive. In other words, it's not being out there. It's being shaded. It's being covered. It's being kept from the people. You remember years and years ago, remember the Catholic Church was the only one that kept the Scripture. You know, if you were a member of the church, you weren't allowed to have the Scripture. Again, that came up this week. Maggie had that quiz at school. So she always says, Dad, we got a history quiz. And I'll say, oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I'll give it out to you, see how well you're doing. And I get tickled with her because she'll say a quiz, and I'll flip the first page, and front and back, second page, front and back. You know, so she hands me, it's like, you know, 150 questions, you know. But I have a good time going over it with her, and we laugh. And one of the things that was mentioned again was Martin Luther. And she stopped. She said, what did you tell me about him last time? She said, wasn't he from Germany? And I said, yeah. And she said, I don't remember anything else. But I said, you recall what he did? She said, yes. And I said, well, that made the church angry or mad. I said, one of the things he felt like that the people should have a right to the Scriptures. And I said, should have the right to be able to read the Bible on their own and not rely on one person relating that to them, but have the Scriptures. How important that is. And so truth then, if you thought about it, was still the truth. The Scriptures were still the Scriptures. But to get the message out was being blocked. In other words, it had not changed. It's like math or the number of cars or 2 plus 2 doesn't change. But what happens, it becomes inactive. And you think about that in our lives. If we don't read the Scriptures, we don't study, we don't pray, what happens? Become inactive. Ourselves. That's what happens. So the truth's still the truth. You're still saved, they say. But at the same time, you've become ineffective, inactive. You know, and Pastor said this too, but I've heard especially, preachers have been out preaching for a while, and I don't want to say the older preachers, because younger preachers would say it too, I'm sure, but I've just not heard it in a while. But remember, they used to say, placed upon a shelf. You don't want to be placed on a shelf. You want to be doing what God wants you to do, seeking what that may be, even if it's just changing the light bulbs. If that's what God wants you to do, change them. You remember, recall several years ago, oh, I wish I could remember. I'm terrible with names, but I could see their faces as plain as day. We was over in the other building, gentleman preaching about if you're going to work at the grocery store, be the best stocker they've got. If you're putting up cans on the shelf and that's all you do, be the best one they got. Whatever they tell you to do. In other words, do it all for the little glory of God. That's right. Everything you do in your life, you think about that. So truth and equity, that integrity, now it's happened today. It's gotten stopped in the streets. Streets are blocked up. Confusion. You know, I work with a guy that been to India a lot, and I never have a desire to go to India. There's some places I'd like to travel to, but India is not one of them. And he'll talk about how the traffic over there is just a madhouse. He said, you come to an intersection. He said, you got to kind of barely tap the brakes. But he said, not for the person behind you, just to make sure that, okay, I'm going now. And then you give it all the gas you got. And he said, you hope nobody else hits you, because he said, the lights didn't mean a thing. Red, green, yellow. He said, I don't even know why they spent the expense to put it up. And that, yeah, and they don't care. In other words, there's a lot of confusion. You think about that in the religious world today, about the confusion that's out there and what's being preached and what's being taught. Traffic jams. You think about that. Congestion. And a lot of times, this has come to me, a lot of times people try to take a side street, try to get around it, try to go another way, and they end up in trouble. Go down one of those side streets, and I've been down them before. You get down there, and all of a sudden it says dead end. No way out. And that's what happens to a lot of people, especially a lot of young people. Not always young, be old people too. Middle-aged people, doesn't matter. Men and women, we're all the same. I still got that human nature to try to take a shortcut sometimes. Well, there's no shortcuts to heaven. Amen. You think about that. And as we look, let's go on and look at, I jotted down a few more things, and some things I jotted down back in 2009, I went back and had a reminder. Truth is eternal. Amen. does not, you think about this, does not die a natural death. Man cannot kill it. Truth lasts on. If I pass away today, if one of you pass away, if all of us go on, our kids survive, and you know what? The truth of the Scripture still stays the same.
Amen.
My granddaddy, my daddy, I don't know about a great-granddaddy. I went back and tried to find them. I'm sure I had one, but what I mean is I don't know about their salvation, or I don't know anything about that, because that, I guess my dad and my granddad died when I was little, so I don't remember a whole lot about things he would have told me. But let's say going back to the 1800s, if they were saved or if they heard the Scripture preached, if they heard the gospel, it's the same as it is today. The truth stayed the same. Didn't change. Truth is eternal, does not die a natural death. Men can't kill it. They've tried and they can't. Truth was born with God. And listen to this. Truth was born with God. And you say, well, God never born. See, that's what you got to think of. And truth would only end when God ended. And God has no end and no beginning. So truth's always been the same. It stayed the same. There's been no place where like this is where it just began. Because it began with God and it would end with God. You think about that. I think about those prophets again of Baal that was slew by Elijah. See, they had a beginning with their religion. They had an end too. It was a deadly end for them. Remember they cried out to their gods. And I mean, we mentioned this again last Sunday. And that stuck with me. And you recall, and I always think about this, always comes back to mind. And no, Elijah, it's almost like, you know, and I don't know if he was like kind of just had a smile on his face or a little grin or something. But remember he asked him, he said, you know, maybe he sleepeth. Maybe he's off on a great hunt, you know. Cry a little louder. Maybe he'll hear you in a little while. You know, that's kind of what I think he was saying, knowing, of course, he knew that, oh, there's no such God. Y'all keep on. Y'all go another day or two. Oh, by the way, you know, I was thinking when he's saying that, oh, pour a little more water over on mine. Just double everything you've done. Because I've got a God that can consume the sacrifice and I'll lick off all the water too. You think about it. Truth. Truth. Truth is born with God and will only end when God ends. You think about there's a few things that I've jotted down. 10 commandments are from God and they're true and they're still there today. And what else causes more problems than the truth from God? Look at what the confusion and problems. Remember a few years ago, and that's why you don't see the 10 commandments posted as you did before, but all the, so to speak, congestion. We're talking about traffic jams, problems, right of way, so to speak, on a road. Think about that with a few years ago, 10 commandments. Everywhere they were posted, people were trying to pull them down. Caused problems. See, the truth. Even though the people didn't deny the 10 commandments that wanted them down, they didn't want to see them. They're from God. See, that's truth. Jesus Christ was incarnate. Jesus Christ, as already pointed out, was resurrected from the dead. Was crucified. Bible is the inspired word of God. Jesus Christ was born a virgin. All these things, born of a virgin, all these things, if you think about it, were truth, or are truth. And we believe, and they haven't changed. You know, I was thinking about our country today, and how with our truth and our spiritual truth and just truth in general, how that's become inactive. You know, it's hard to get an accurate report. You can turn on Fox News and get one report, CNN, get another report, CBS News, ABC, whatever, and get another report. You can. I remember during last year's election, I guess, was that last year? See, I lost a year. You guys always got to help me. Yeah, that's right. And you had the TVs on and watching the election results, and whether you was for the current president or not, I'm just saying the reports that you got on every channel was different. You turned in some channels and the current president was lost. He'd already lost the election or was going to lose. Turned on the other ones, they couldn't talk for crying. And you wondered what happened. Has there been a massive earthquake? What's going on? I thought there was some big great tragedy. They were just terrible. They couldn't even, they had the microphone down there. And I thought, oh, what's happened? They said there's been some tragedy. I flipped to another channel and they'd say, oh, we can't believe it. Donald Trump's going to win the presidency. And you go, no, and what was the truth? What is the truth? And that's a lot of what you hear today. It's inactive. It's not moving. It's stagnant. People don't want to always hear the truth. And especially when it comes down to the Scripture. So what do? We kind of tilt it to what we think others would want to hear or want to say. I know I sometimes I work with a fella And sometimes you have to give students news that, I'm sorry, you know, you're no longer in the program, or maybe your grades aren't what they should be, or if your grades continue like they are, we can't do whatever it may be. And I'm sure that's that way with a job, too. Sometimes you have to let people go, whatever it may be. And I've heard this statement a lot through the years, said, just be truthful. Just be upfront. Just tell them what got them there or what got you there, and the reason why you have to go forward in the direction you do. And you know what? That's not always the easiest thing to do. It's not. Just like sharing the gospel with somebody that's lost, sometimes the situation that's surrounding that may not always be the easiest. A lot of times our family is the hardest to talk to. You think about that. Maybe it's something that a child's doing that you've got, you know, your home, maybe your daughter, your son, something you need to talk to them about, or you need to help guide them in the right direction. Maybe they don't want to go that way. Those things are hard. They're not always easy. But they have to be done. You can't let truth fall in the street. Because truth is truth. Remember, unless it gets blocked. And you don't want to contribute to that, do you? You don't want to be the traffic jam, so to speak. You don't want to be the one running the red light, or as I was talking about over in India, and you get everybody else jammed up, then everybody's going to be looking at you. But our country today, spiritual truth has become inactive. Truth in general has changed. Truth went to sleep in the home in the 60s, or before, I've jotted down, and then the schools. So when truth went to sleep in the homes and in the schools, our nation started a downhill spiral. Yep. Oh, no.
They're putting them in the schools.
Yeah.
In the hearts of the young people. And they just open the door wide open to the Word of God in the school system.
And that's how you change a nation.
Amen, brother.
That's right. Where I heard this week that the opposite in this country, they talked about how technology's opened up to our young people, and teenagers have more power now than they ever have just by the power of the Internet. And what they mean by that is attacking maybe something they don't like, and then maybe they don't even understand all of what's going on, and then getting the sponsors of maybe of a certain program or a person or whatever to pull out, because the teenagers maybe are a group that buy that product, so they boycott them. So they said, yeah, we know to go after the money, not after the person. And so we're in Papua New Guinea, they're giving the Bibles to get the gospel out to the young people. Then here, of course, what you see in our country is opposite things happening. Our young people seem to be, not all of them, but seem to be going in another direction. Truth went to sleep in the home and in the schools. Live your own lives. You do not need anybody to tell you what to do. That bred dishonesty, lying, stealing, adultery, homosexuality. All the things that the Bible's against now have become like, I think about like open air kind of topics. In other words, things you can just maybe grab and reach out and touch and talk about and say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that? What's the Bible say about that? Well, maybe the Bible meant this or that. That's the way you think about that today. But it's still the truth. Live your own lives. You do not need anybody to tell you what to do. The Bible says you cannot beat sin. Society says you can. I read that again, and I remember jotted that down as something came to mind from this week that I'd read in the paper. If you saw in the paper, one of the high schools here, well, it's, I guess the only one here in town, and I was going to say in town, but I guess it'd be, well, you got north too, but at DB, this young lady, she broke the state record in a two-mile run. And just flying. I mean, you know, since I used to run, I reading about it, and just a little over 5 minutes, she ran a mile, and like 5 minutes and 14 seconds, and then like I think she finished the whole thing, and just, of course, it'd be a little over 10 minutes, and evidently nobody else could even, and the girls could even see her. She got so far ahead of them. You know, I guess she thought, well, I'm on the right track, you know, that's what I'd have done. It'd be like that time we ran that race in Johnson City, and we was with those, there were two women running with us, and it was three men, and the police car turned one way, And I turned after the police car. I told you that story before. And the two women went to the left, and we went to the right. And I stopped, and I looked, and them two guys said, "No, where are you going? The police, you know, we're going this way. This is the track." And I said, "Well, no, wait a second." Because in my mind, I'm like, well, sometimes women usually know where they're going. And so I'd been around long enough to realize I'm going left. So I left and left the police officer and those other two, and we turned out to be right, if you know what I'm saying. Those other two guys, they had to follow that police car around. He realized he was on the wrong track. Well, he couldn't speed up and lose those two guys, so he had to drive 5 miles an hour and take every turn to get back around. And finally, he got back out in front of us. But what I'm saying, she got so far out in front, but what I'm leading to here with that is, you said, why are you telling us about that? Is because they talked about how fast she was and how quick she could run. And one of our little neighbors, young ladies, she finished second. So I told the girls about that. So if they see her, you know, they need to congratulate her. Because I said, she runs quick too, but she just happens to be running when, you know, it's like a superstar running. But as much as I read that and I read through the article and it talked about it, I said, where are you going with that? And how does it pertain with this? The Bible says you cannot beat sin. Society says you can. As I read through that, they started talking about the boys running. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And I thought, well, I bet she beat them too. And in the middle of that, it said she was in the middle of the boys' pack. I thought, you're kidding me. And I said, as fast as she was running, she still only outran half the boys. The other half beat her. I said, man, that's hard to believe. And I got thinking about that, and I showed Kim. She goes, oh, yeah. She goes, I know who that is, or know the parents or something. And I said, you know, that just surprises me. I said, you know, you think about your legs and the way they move and your arms, and you know, she's kind of small in stature, boy, so she just gets those little feet to going and just runs fast as she can. And I said, still, half the boys beat her. Now, that doesn't mean one day a woman won't outrun all the boys. That right there may occur. But I got to thinking about that. I said, and this right here come to mind, the Bible says you cannot beat sin. And, you know, we just know that to be true. The Bible says there's no way you'll ever outdo sin. But society says, oh, yeah, you will. You'll do fine. Don't pay attention to what the Bible says. Oh, sin's not going to get you in trouble. Going down to those bars and bar rooms with drugs, you won't have any problems with those. You can get off those when you want to. Oh, no. It looks good. You're young. Have a good time. What do your parents know? Marijuana's going to be legal. Going to be legal everywhere. So it's just a matter of time. That's not a problem now. Go ahead and smoke all that you want. You're not going to have any issues. It won't cause any problems with you. See, that's just something grandparents and parents have believed. There's nothing wrong with that. That's right. It is. It will destroy families. And so you think about that. So how does that relate to that race? Will there ever be a time? And I think about those marathons and things they run, and women just got a lot faster. And I've got, you know, two daughters myself, so I want to see women. You know, they're getting out there, and what I'm saying is they're catching up. But with as I thought about that and read that, I said, that the Bible says you can never beat sin. Will there ever be a and we know that to be true. We know that to be true. And so as we run a race, and sometimes we think we're leading in life, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And we think, boy, we've got the world by the tail. But when you look around, you're in the middle of the pack. Because when you added her to the rest of the group, which still, I'm not taking anything away from that, please, if you know the family and stuff, I'm congratulating her. I'm trying to relate that to the bigger story, trying to give us an example in life. When you put her in the larger group, just like when you put maybe yourself, say, well, I'm doing just fine, I'm making it. But when you put yourself out there in the world, so to speak, how do you compare then? Think about that. I talked to a fellow the other day. His son plays basketball over in a little school over in North Carolina. And I asked him how his son was doing. He said, well, he's doing pretty good. He said what he had to get accustomed to was that everybody else could shoot the ball from three-pointers too. And at three-point, I said, what do you mean? He said, well, in high school, he shot the lights out for 3 points. And said he went over there, and the first thing he said is, you know what, these other boys can hit it from that three-point line too. You know, and I remember I had a student years ago, Trey was his name. He was something the third. I always remember Trey. And he moved to Utah and married a young lady and works at the VA out at Utah. And I remember he got a scholarship. He played football. and over at old Rock Hill, South Carolina, a little college there. And I said, what was the biggest thing you learned when you got there? He said that everybody else was as fast as I was and they could throw the ball as well as I could. That's what he learned. He got out in the world and realized that, wait a second, I'm not. And so you say, I'm using that to tell you that in your own, whether it be mind or world, or we need to take a close look at ourselves, is what I'm trying to say. We need to examine ourselves where we're at and not compare ourselves with each other. I'm not trying to say that. But you need to examine yourselves honestly, just like you would ask these folks to do, whether they're running a race or playing basketball or football, whatever, to not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Because when you put yourself out in the group with others, how quick really are you? How fast really are you? You don't think about that. And that's what I think about, and I wanted to use her as an example in that race that came to mind, is that, oh, she blew away the field. But when you compared her and put her in the group, she's halfway there. She, you know, right in the middle, which is still outstanding. That probably wasn't a young lady, and you think about half the boys were still, she couldn't see them. But you get out in the world, it's a little different. And sometimes I think our young people and even middle-aged and older adults, we forget that sometimes. In life, it's not always what we think it to be as we grow older as our plans are laid out. Plans are changed sometimes. And anyway, I'll finish up and wrap up. I just noticed the time here. I went over and said today I was going to be early. And I wasn't. Let me just read you one verse. And this was a moment in Romans where I was looking, and we're done. We're finished. And this verse, we'll finish it up. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm on preacher time today. I got to go. And I forgot. I apologize. I always try to give extra time on Easter. Oh, where's that? I thought I'd find it here. Oh, here it is. I was a chapter off. Let me read it to you. And it'll straighten us up. I mean, as far as we're finished. What I mean by straighten it ends the morning Sunday school lesson. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. That's what I was trying to say there about the racing and trying to compare that with the athletes. Not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That closes out chapter 13 in this Sunday school lesson this morning. Got time to visit, hopefully. Welcome all the visitors and family, and thank you for your attention.